This morning we want to look at a little bit of information about Moses. I don't know if you've noticed, so far all of our character studies, the characteristic has started with the same letter as the character. I'm not going to be able to do that all the way through. I'm trying. But some of them are a little more difficult than others to come up with a combination that works. But this is one, you know, we might have disagreed about who was the most courageous when I chose Caleb. We could debate about, you know, who was the most benevolent when I chose Barnabas. But we can't argue about this one, because God Himself says that Moses is, or at least was, the meekest man on earth. So when we talk about being meek like Moses, we're talking about doing something and being something that God defined. And so Moses is the perfect example for meekness for us. And for one reason that he is that is because he struggled with that at earlier times in his life, but he grew to that. And that's one of the things that we're talking about, is how we can grow in these areas in our lives as well. We want to begin by looking at meekness defined. How are we going to define meekness? Because honestly, the way that the world defines it, in fact, I looked up the definition in several dictionaries. What does it mean to be meek? And I found in several dictionaries that basically it said, you know, you just get rolled over by everybody. You're just a pushover. You just won't stand up for yourself. You won't, you know, you're just a mat to be walked upon. And yet when we read in the Bible about people who were meek, we read about Moses in particular, you know, when we think about Moses, if you ever watched that old movie, The Ten Commandments, or something like that, and when you think about Moses, does he strike you really as the person that just let people run all over him? He didn't really strike me as that kind of person, and yet the Bible says that he was the meekest of all the men on earth at that time. I did find this definition from Merriam-Webster. Having or showing a quiet and gentle nature, not wanting to fight or argue with other people. Now understand, that doesn't mean that you never get upset. That doesn't mean that you are never in a fight or in an argument. But it's that you don't want to be. You want to be quiet and gentle. You want to be at peace with other people. The Bible talks to us about that, about how as Christians, we need to strive to have peace with all men. As much as in you lies, be at peace with everyone. Of course, that's not always possible, but that needs to be our goal. That needs to be our starting point. And we think about Moses being meek. We also think about Jesus. Jesus said, "I am meek and lowly of heart." And so he's calling people to come to him, and he said, "I am meek." And I think some people have gotten the idea from that Jesus was another one of these guys that everybody just steamrolled him. Because maybe the fact that he was crucified was part of the reason people think that. But what they don't understand is he was crucified because that was God's plan. That was the plan all along. It wasn't that he was just weak and got rolled over and bulldozed by everybody. That wasn't it. In fact, if you look at the Gospels as we did through the last year, you'll see Jesus was not someone who would not stand up for what was right, who would stand up for the truth. He even, on one occasion, of course, famously cleared the temple by getting whips, tying a cat of nine tails, tying together, and you know, taking that, turning over all the tables and just wrecking the place. And that's not the picture that most people see in their mind when they hear the word meek. So for one of the things that we want to accomplish this morning is for us to redefine in our mind what it means to be meek. It's not a lack of power and ability. Being meek. Being gentle. It's not a sign of weakness either. Moses is mentioned 852 times, more than any other person in the Bible other than Jesus. And, of course, God Himself. So, Moses is one of the main characters in the Bible. And he has several lessons that he could teach us, but meekness is the one that God calls him out as being the meekest man on earth. But I want us to define this word, and I want us to think about this example. Most of us, even if we don't necessarily like football, have watched some football game at some point, or at least part of one. I know poor Wanda had to sit through one while she was at the hospital last week, checking on time. That's all they had on the TV down there in the waiting room was football. So she had to sit and watch the football game. But we may not like it a whole lot, but we do understand, you know, that's a tough game. That's a rough game. People running into each other, knocking each other down, grabbing each other, tackling each other, throwing each other on the ground, these kind of things. That's a tough, rough game. And a lot of those football players are tough people. They're strong. They have power. They have ability. But if that power and ability that they have is out of control, they're a hindrance to their team instead of a help, aren't they? They cause more trouble if they don't control that power. So, you may think, imagine a football player who gets the football and he runs into the end zone and scores a touchdown and he slams that ball down on the ground and, you know, spikes it up in the air. There was a big period there where they wouldn't let them do that. They'd penalize them if they did that. But you know, some of them do that kind of thing a little bit. But, you know, they used to spike that thing and it bounced up, you know, 50 feet in the air. They were so strong they could just, you know, bounce that thing off the ground that far. Now imagine that same football player after the game's all over and he goes home to his wife and child. Now I know not all of them have wife and children, but let's say this particular football player, he has a wife and a little baby that's maybe 2 or 3 months old. And he goes home to his wife after he's been on the road at that football game. He's come back home. Maybe he was out of town. He comes back Monday and he gets into town. And he gets to see his wife and his baby, and she hands him this little tyke, this little 2-3-month-old baby. Now, what's he going to do with that little baby? He's going to take that baby and slam it down on the ground and see how far it bounces? Oh, he's not going to do that. Is it because he doesn't have the power to do that? Well, no, he has the power to do it. He has the ability to do it. But just because he has the strength doesn't mean he doesn't know how to control that strength. The same guy who was grabbing other grown men and throwing them on the ground the day before takes this little baby in his big strong hands with big arms and muscles, but he holds that baby just as gentle and he doesn't hurt that baby. He holds it, cuddles it, nuzzles it, and all those little things that daddies do with their babies. And I want us to think about that when we think about meekness. Here's somebody who has the power, has the strength to do all these things, but he knows when to use that strength and when not to. Another good example is a horse. I know some of you are familiar with horses a lot more than I am, but I will say that I have heard this. A horse that hasn't been broken, even though it's got a lot of power, is pretty much useless, isn't it? That horse has to be broken. It has to be trained to use that power in the way you want it to use. Whether it's, you know, like the Clydesdales pulling a big wagon or something like that, or whether it's a horse pulling a plow like they used to do in the old days, or whether it's riding on that horse, jumping fences, racing races, whatever kind of trick riding, anything, you know, whatever. Doing delicate maneuvers in some of the dressage that they do. You know, whatever it is, those horses have to know just how to do it. And we realize that horse is powerful. That horse weighs a ton. Maybe not literally a ton, but he weighs a lot. And he could hurt you. But because he's under control, he uses that power to help you instead. And we talk about horsepower even with cars and things. So Moses here is our example. Now I want us to understand, Moses was not always meek. When Moses started out his life, here's something we need to learn. when we think we know better than God and we got it figured out and we know how to do things and we're going to get it and we're going to do it our way, it doesn't work well. And that's what Moses thought earlier in his life. When he was a young man of 40, oh, I love it, young man of 40. That doesn't make me too old then. I'm not much older than that. So when he was a young man of 40, he saw in Exodus 2 verses 11 through 14, he saw one of his Israelite brethren being mistreated. He saw this slave master driving him too hard and hurting him. And so he saw him beating this Hebrew slave. So he looked around. Now his idea was he was going to help out his Hebrew brother. He didn't see anybody watching, so he killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. That was his idea of how he was going to help the Israelites. It wasn't God's idea. God didn't tell him to do that. His power, we see the kind of power he had. He had the power to kill another man. And so he wasn't a weak guy. Moses wasn't some frail little guy that couldn't hold his own. One of the first recorded things that we see him doing as an adult is killing another man. He had power. He had strength. But it wasn't under control. He was out of control. So the next day he sees two Israelites arguing and fussing and fighting with each other. And so he goes to them and he says, well, you're brothers, don't fight. And one of them said, what, are you going to kill me like you did the Egyptian yesterday? That guy was a bit of a smart aleck, wasn't he? If you actually saw him kill the guy yesterday and you go mouth off it, maybe he will kill you. That might not have been the brightest thing to say, you know. But that's what he comes back with. Oh, you're going to kill me like you killed him? Of course, Moses then realized, oh, everybody knows what I did. I got to get out of here. So he runs out. For 40 years then, he's herding sheep out in the wilderness. Nobody to talk to. Out, just him and the sheep. For 40 years. And while he was out there, he learned, among other things, some meekness and some control over his life. We need to remember, of course, that meekness is not weakness. Jesus and Moses were both meek, but neither was a pushover. Now, even though Moses gets himself under control, and he's not going to, when he comes back again, he's not going to go try to assassinate Pharaoh. He's not going to go in there guns blazing and shoot up the place. He's not going to go in there to try to kill everybody in Egypt. He learns how to have control of his power. But he's not going to let Pharaoh push him around either. Can you imagine the way that our society defines meekness if Moses had been the meekest of men on earth according to that way of defining things? One of the definitions I saw was someone who is easy to manipulate and push around. I'm like, that's not what the Bible says about people who were meek. Just because you don't start fights and cause trouble and punch everything that gets in your way, that doesn't mean that you're not strong. In fact, sometimes the old saying is, it takes more strength to walk away from a fight than it does to throw a punch and get in that fight. And that's certainly the case sometimes. When someone's provoking you, sometimes it's harder to walk away than it is to just say, okay, well, let's just fight right here. Especially when you're young and the adrenaline's rushing. And some of us, as we get older, we're kind of like, yeah, I'm too tired to fight anymore. We don't want to fight as much. But neither of these men was the kind of person. Can you imagine Moses? So imagine the way our society defines meekness. That this is a guy who just gets pushed around by everybody. He's henpecked by his wife. His kids roll all over him. And they, you know, they just treat him like an ATM that gives out money whenever they ask for it. And you know, they just, you know, take the car whenever they please and whatever. And they just don't abide by any of his rules or anything. And now imagine this guy, and imagine that being Moses and him going to Pharaoh and saying, well, you know, Mr. Pharaoh, God said he'd like for you to let his people go. And Pharaoh responds as Pharaoh did when Moses actually went to him. No. Who's this Lord guy? Who's this God that you're talking about that I should listen to him? Now, the way that American society defines meekness, what would Moses' response have been? Oh, okay, well, I'm sorry I bothered you. I won't bother you anymore. And that'd be the end of it, right? The children of Israel would have been still in bondage in Egypt. They would have never gotten out. But that's not what happened, because that's not what meekness really is. So let's consider a couple more things. Moses was not a pushover. He wasn't just this mamby-pamby, little wimpy guy who, you know, just couldn't stand up for himself or for anything. But I will notice these other couple things. Moses put God's will above his own. That's when you start to get that power under control. It's when you start looking, okay, it's not what I want, but what do you want? Did Jesus have the power to just destroy everybody and not go to the cross? Yeah, he had that power. In fact, he said, I could call 10 legions of angels. We sing the song, he could call 10,000 angels, whichever way. But he could have called an angelic army to come get him out of there and kill everybody. When he was on the cross and they were saying, oh, if you're really the Son of God, come down from there. Did he have the power to come down? Yes, he could have jumped off of there and said, ha, see, I can do it. Why didn't he? Because he put God's will above his own. And Moses was the same kind of person. In Exodus 3 and 4, we see several times where Moses is trying to make excuses. This is when God's first calling him from the burning bush to go back to Egypt to free his people. And Moses comes up with several excuses. First he says, well, who am I to go to Pharaoh? Well, he was Pharaoh's adopted grandson for one, but you know, of course by this time it may have actually been Pharaoh's stepbrother or something. But he says, who am I to go? I'm not anybody important. I can't go. Then in verse 13, he says, well, if I come to the people, they're going to say, well, who is this God? What am I going to say to them? And so God answers him that question. And then in chapter 4 and verse 1, Moses said, oh, they're not going to believe me. They're going to say the Lord didn't appear to you. He's got some courage issues, you know, some confidence issues here. And so the Lord gives him the miraculous signs: put your hand in there, it'll become leprous, you know, pour the water, it'll be blood, and drop the staff and it'll be a snake, and these kind of things. And so God answers that question. Then in verse 10 he says, well, you know what, God, you got to understand, I've been out here with these sheep all these years. I'm not really very good at talking to folks. You know, the only people I've been talking to are sheep out here in the wilderness. I'm not a very eloquent person. I can't go talk in a king's court. And so God answers that question as well. And then finally, he just says in verse 13, well, Lord, just please send somebody else to do this. And so God answers that question as well. And then in verses 19 and 20, the Lord said to Moses, go back to Egypt. All the men who were seeking your life are dead. That would include that Pharaoh. So, you know, it's not his step-grandpa that's Pharaoh anymore. It's probably his uncle or somebody like that. Step-uncle. Adopted uncle. Because Pharaoh's daughter had adopted Moses. Which really was, you know, he was, of course, an Israelite. But he says, you go back. And it's time for you to go. Do what you're told. And so Moses goes. And he gets there. Now, one of the things that he would said was, well, I can't talk very well. And one of the things God told him was, okay, well, you know your brother Aaron, he can talk pretty good. I'll send him with you. And you can tell him what to say and he'll say it. But you'll notice when Moses actually gets there, Moses seems to be the one that does most of the talking. So for all of his excuse making, he could talk okay. He might not have been the most eloquent man in the world, but he could get his message across. But Moses finally, and it's not that he just jumped to, oh yes, I can't wait to get to go do this. It wasn't the very thing that he wanted to do the most, But when God finally said, this is my will for you, this is what I want you to do, now you go do it, he got up and he went. Unlike Jonah, who got up and ran the other way when God said, go do it. Moses tried to send somebody else. No, you go. Okay. So he submitted his will to God's will. And we've got to do that if we're going to be meek people. We're going to have to look to God's will and let our own will be submissive to his. Then we notice that Moses put others' needs ahead of his own. And we see this a couple of times in Exodus 32, verses 9 and 11. God is so angry at the children of Israel that he is ready to destroy them all. And he says, I'll take you, Moses, and make you a great nation. That's the chance here. Hey, you could get to be the head of a nation. That'd be pretty impressive, wouldn't it? I mean, Abraham was the head of Israel, but he started the Israelite nation, but wow, we'll just wipe all them out and I'll start again with you. Moses could have jumped at that chance, but instead he said, oh, why is your wrath burning hot against your people? Don't do this. And he actually talked God out of destroying the children of Israel on this occasion. Later in chapter 32, in verses 31 and 32, Moses came back and he said, the people have sinned, they've made a golden calf, God was angry at them again, ready to destroy them. And Moses said, but now, if you will forgive their sin, good, but if not, please blot me out of your book that you've written. That's amazing. He said, he cared so much about these people that he was willing to say, blot me out of the book of life if you're not willing to forgive these people. Now, of course, God said, I'm not going to blot anybody out that doesn't deserve to be blotted out. But Moses tried. It's kind of like Paul saying, I could wish myself accursed if it would save my fellow Jews who haven't believed. But of course, it wouldn't. God doesn't work that way. You can't do it for somebody else. They have to do it for themselves. And so Moses here, putting other people's needs ahead of his own. And of course, we mentioned earlier, but we want to... Moses was actually described as meek by God. In Numbers 12 and verse 3 it says, now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. And again, this is not the picture, when you think about Moses before Pharaoh and him doing the miracles and him telling Pharaoh, look, if you don't, God's going to send this plague on you and this plague on you. You don't really picture somebody that fits the mold of what we in America many times think of as meek. But that was who Moses really was. And that's what meekness really is. So we need to recalibrate our way of thinking when it comes to the word meek. Meek does not mean weak. And Moses here, in this particular case, his brother and sister, Aaron and Miriam, were making fun of him, saying, oh, well, you know, didn't Moses, God talked through us too, not just you, you're not so special. And Moses didn't even defend himself against that charge. God had to come to his defense. And God came down and said, look, let me tell you something. Usually when there's a prophet or something, I'll send him a dream. But Moses, I've talked to him face to face. Now, you two better straighten up and fly right, or it's going to be the end of you. And then Moses had to pray for them that they wouldn't be destroyed. On another occasion, that similarly, Aaron and Miriam were mocking Moses because of his wife. They didn't like the Ethiopian wife that he had, and so they were making fun of him about that. And God got so angry at them in that case that Miriam, he gave Miriam leprosy on the spot. And so Moses again, you know, Aaron comes begging, please, oh, we're so sorry, please pray for us and pray for Miriam. And so Moses again prays for Miriam. And Miriam is healed of it. But then God says, okay, well look, you send her out of the camp for 7 days. She's unclean for 7 days, even though I've healed her. She's still got to go out of the camp because she had this leprosy. But we see this attitude that Moses had. He didn't want to fight. And you even see that when he goes to Pharaoh. He said, look, the Lord God said, let my people go. he didn't want to fight. He didn't want to have to deal with Pharaoh in a bad way. But God had already, you know, when you tell him this, he's going to harden his heart, and he's not going to listen to you. And so it was that that's exactly the way it happened. That when he went in there, Pharaoh, you know, tried to get out, tried to make this stipulation, that stipulation, but Moses wouldn't bend. He wasn't the pushover. Pharaoh said, "Well, I'll tell you what, why don't y'all just do your sacrifices right here in the land?" Moses said, "No, we can't do it that way. That's not what God said." Then he said, "Well, I'll tell you what, okay, you men go, but you leave your women and children here." Moses said, "No, that's not what God said." He said, "Well, okay, you can go, but you can't go very far." You know, he just kept trying to change and negotiate and compromise with God. But Moses kept saying, "No, that's not what God said. We have to do it this way, and we're going to do it that way." And of course, Pharaoh time and again fought against that, which we'll learn a lot more about all of these things as well with our Vacation Bible School this year, because we're going to be looking at some of that time period of the Exodus and those things in Vacation Bible School this year as well. But as we consider how Moses was meek, are we meek like Moses? Or are we pushovers like the American definition of meekness? Because that's not a good characteristic, to just get pushed around and not stand up for what's right. That's not good. Or do we think we've got to be the tough guy and fight everybody, or you know, get in an argument with everybody constantly about every little thing? Now obviously, when we think about Jesus, Jesus got into a lot of arguments with a lot of people in his life. But it wasn't because he wanted to argue with them, it's because they wanted to argue with him. He couldn't avoid them coming to him, trying to trick him and trying to argue with him about all these things. We're going to have people that are going to come at us like that. But are we the person that's going out looking for a fight, looking for an argument? That's not the person who's meek. There's an old saying sometimes when, a lot of times it would be something a parent would say when a couple of siblings were fighting. And then they'd start arguing about, well, he started it, well, she started it, well, you know, whatever. And the parents, line was, it doesn't matter who started it, I'm finishing it. God's going to finish all of these things, ultimately. But we need to be people who, while we have strength, while we have power and ability, we have that strength, that power, that ability under control so that we can be useful to God instead of being a problem for God. This morning, if you are examining your life and finding that either you're just not having any power and strength at all and just wishy-washy and blowing this way and that way in the wind, you need to repent of that. That's not the way God wants His children to behave. But if you find that you're a troublemaker, you're always arguing and fussing and fighting and stirring up strife and causing problems with the people around you, that's not what God wants us to be either. He wants us to be meek like Moses. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation this morning for any reason, please do come as we stand and sing.